don't think that I sound any different than you do. And then I hear that I do, and I'm like, are you kidding me? What you're hearing is a combination. I was raised in Alabama and got married at 17. Of course, we do not recommend that today, any of you younger girls, but country girls just did that. Some of you may have grown up like that. Country girls just got married young. My mom got married at 14 years old. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
And her picture, she's in this navy suit, and she's holding her purse, and she, this hat, and she's so stoic, and I'm like, you look younger today than you looked then, you know. But she was 14, and my dad was 19, and my dad just passed away in December, December 19. So I spent most of the month of December in Alabama. We had gone on a missions trip to Africa, landed in Atlanta, you know, the interchange of the world, Atlanta, and landed there, and I got a text that came in while I was gone that my dad was in the hospital, and so I text my sister. I thought, you know, the one that has the job that she really can't just take off for anything, and I thought she'll be at work, and she'll tell me, yeah, this is what's going on, just heads up, you know, but she didn't tell me that. She said, you need to come now. So Delta let me change my flight. So went on to Alabama without my suitcase or anything. They said it's en route. I guess you can't go digging, you know, for it. And so I diverted to Alabama, and my dad died on the 19th. We buried him on the 23rd, and then went home after that. So, you know, you find people, you find out what you don't really need, right? Yeah. You don't really have to have clothes and makeup and all that. You really just need to go and be a part. And my dad was a Christian deacon in our little Baptist church all my days. And he was a good man. And my mom, she's doing fine, but she's lonely. Just, of course, after 65, wait, okay, they got married in 1950. Hey, would you help me with that, please? So that's going to be 66 years of married. Marriage, I guess when you get married at 14, you are a little lonely when your mate goes to heaven, right? But the Lord's been so good and given me a strong family. We've got 3 children. They are all married. And we have 5 grandkids.
Wow.
And I call them my cute kids. And I call them my cute kid number 1, cute kid number 2, so they know their number. You know, the oldest ones, at least, they know their number. So sometimes the oldest is Owen. And Riley. Riley is very, she's 4. And she is very, we could just call her Riley personality. You know what I'm saying? She is all out there. And you know, her parents say she's a little bossy, but we're just saying it's leadership and training.
That's,
you know?
Right. That's right.
So we're hoping when she goes to kindergarten in August that leadership and training is going to be really it, so she has friends. You know what I'm saying? Because she can just put you right in your little spot. No, you go here. No, you go here. You know, this is the right way. She's very. And then Owen is 3 months younger than her. And these are our sons. We have 2 boys and a girl. And so our oldest son has Riley, the oldest grandchild. And our middle son, Philip, has Owen, the next cute kid number 2. And Owen and Riley are 2 peas in a pod. They were born 3 months apart. They were both July 29 and October 29. And then they got saved this last year. And I was writing this in my Bible and on the calendar so that, you know, on the calendar it'll pop up. You know how you have your pop-ups to make sure you remember your dates and all that. And I was putting it in, and I was at work, popping it in my calendar, and the boys worked down the hall from me. And I said, boys, guess what? Did you realize that Riley and Owen were saved exactly 3 months apart? So they were born exactly 3 months apart on the 29th. They were saved exactly 3 months apart on a Sunday each, led to the Lord by their dads on a Sunday on the 20th. So that was cool, you know, that this happened. They are definitely cute kids. So I love my life as a nana. Someone had called me for some information, traveling information, this couple weeks ago, and I had forgotten to send this form back. I'm my husband's secretary, and I'm really not a very good one because, you know, I'm here instead of being a secretary today, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, oh, Denise, I'm so sorry. I said, I don't know if I'm a secretary, a wife, a nana, or what I am. I'm just all over. And she said, got it. I'm there too. You know, we're trying to figure out exactly who we are. I told Janet, I said, it's coming with these young babies. You try to figure out exactly. Some of you with me, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, what today I've got this hat, tomorrow I've got this hat, but I realized today in this hat I forgot to do what this hat was supposed to be, right? And so it's just one of those things, but I love it. The cutest things happen sometimes. The grandkids, the oldest two especially, ride home with me every Sunday, and instead of playing music, we talk, you know, what's going on in class and all those kind of things. Well, this day was kind of a funny thing. We were talking about the cute kid numbers, you know, and all these things, and what's going on, and who's the parent, and who's doing what they learned about. And Owen just popped out. He's very analytical and thinking. He said, Nana, I wonder who cute kid number 6, 7, 8, and 9 are going to be. I said, me too. And I wonder if we're going to have that many and who's going to be their mama, you know? He said, well, I have a really good idea. Yeah, this is good, right? Yeah. Cute kid number 6 could be Addison, my friend that lives in Virginia. I said, well, I do love Addison, and you're right, that could be, but let's wait and see what the Lord has for cute kid number 6, right? Well, you all are not very much different than us, maybe a little bit of accent, but you know what I found out? There's some country people up here too, right? There's just some good old people that live in this part of the world. And I learned that years ago. I used to think if you came up north, that meant big cities and hustle bustle, but it doesn't. It means that there's just some good people up here too. And you just don't drink sweet tea up here, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you drink sweet tea?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Has Cracker Barrel made it up here? You got Cracker Barrel. So, yeah, you're all
at...
Oh, Chick-fil-A. They have some of the best sweet tea. Oh, McDonald's has sweet tea, too. Oh, y'all are all in Dunkin', aren't you? Well, see, I love sweet tea, but I drink the unsweet because of one reason. Calories, right? Oh! So I have to drink a little bit of sweet along, but I don't guzzle it anymore, you know, like I used to do. Well, I'm so thankful to be here, and my husband and I love your pastor, those of you who go to Lighthouse, and Miss Janet, and we think of the world of them and their family, and don't take that for granted.
Right.
Many times we want to nitpick, and that always happens everywhere because we're human. You know, we think, oh, it was a better way to do that, or a better way to do this, or... But don't take your pastor's wife for granted. And those of you who may be from another church that work for a pastor and are just visiting and you're a lay woman in the church, don't take a godly pastor's wife and husband for granted because they're not all over the world. They're not perfect. We are not perfect either. There's no way you can't be, right? Adam messed that up. We want to straighten that out in this session. If he had been a better leader, it would have all been fixed. So we just want to clarify that as we get started today. Well, you've got a handout in front of you. We're going to talk about verbal gifts. We're going to talk about things that we say, expressions that we make. You know, the husband, it's been proven, the woman talks twice as much as men, but you know why, right? We have to repeat every statement. And why is that funny no matter where we are? Because it is so true. A man cannot do whatever he's doing and listen to you at the same time. that is proven out with my two grandsons. The third one's only 7 months old, so we're not quite there yet. But the other two, if I've got Daniel Tiger, I love Daniel Tiger. Do you all, anybody watch Daniel Tiger on TV? It's a little training. You know, it's good, isn't it, Emma? And it's a good little training and that they teach. But they cannot be watching Daniel Tiger and me call them to the table and them hear me. They absolutely, and I just look and think, he's a little man. You know, that's the way it was. Daniel Tiger teaches little truths. Let me tell you this, and I'll get on what we're doing. It teaches these little truths. And, you know, kids like to watch the same one over and over. Well, there's one about being frustrated. And so everyone, some of you have seen it, every time they teach this truth, then they make up this little jingle. So this one is, I don't know how the tune exactly right, but when you get frustrated, take a step back and ask for help, okay? So I'm in, I didn't even think about this. When this happened, I was in Babies R Us. I was buying a baby gift. So I'm over here at the little monitor, and I'm punching in the name, and of course it freezes up, right? So I've got Riley with me. Miss Leadership and Training is with me. And so she's wanting to wander off. Well, you know, that's scary, isn't it? Because you just know you're going to turn around one day and she's going to be gone. So, Riley, I'm keeping her in my eyesight. I'm doing this. So it's making me nervous. So I pop over here to this computer and I'm punching in and it's being slower. And she, Riley, wait right here. She's 4 or 5 feet, you know, right here. Okay, so I'm in her peripheral, but I don't want to forget I've got a child because I don't shop usually with my grandkids. It just makes me nervous. And I usually stay home and we do all this stuff. So anyway, the thing wouldn't come up and I said, I don't think I did more than a whisper, but I said this. This is so frustrating. And I didn't even think about it. In fact, I was talking to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to. And there's a little voice right over here. And she's like, Nana, when you get frustrated, take yourself back and ask for help. And I'm like, oh, no. And I had to laugh, right? We have to laugh at ourselves when things like that happen. It was quite hilarious. When we think about gifts, we think about receiving gifts. We think about positive things, right? I would never wrap a package with a beautiful bow on it, and inside you open it, and there would be a live snake. That wouldn't be a good gift, would it? I don't think I could do that to anybody that I really, really dislike. That's not nice. It's not friendly. It's not at all the kind of gifts that you give to your family. I love giving gifts to my family. We love birthdays and Christmas, and I love buying for them. Now, I will have to admit that I buy mostly from a list anymore because it is a new day, and why give somebody something that doesn't match their house or that they really don't want? Why do that? But we want to give gifts that people want, even if it's a gift card. I want it to be somewhere that you like to go. I don't want it to be from, you know, I bring you a gift card from Raleigh and I pass it out and you're like, thanks, but we don't even have that store. And I'm like, but it's $100. Well, great, but I'm not going to Raleigh. Yeah. That's not a good gift. No. We want to give gifts to people that are proper and that are right and that are exciting and that make them feel important and appreciated and loved very much. We tell our grandkids all the time, use your words. Use your words. They wanna come up and blah, 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 and they're whining or pouting. No, you can't have a snack like that. You can't have juice like that. Use your words. Nana, can you please help me to do whatever? Use your words. Well, we must use our words properly. So I want you to look at your handout, and we're going to read these verses together. I printed them on our handout because That just works well for me. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now some of you just sang that in a song, didn't you? Be ye kind one to another. We say, oh, these are great to teach your children. And I'm going to say, oh, these are great for us to follow today. So many, many times we miss it. We don't miss it in teaching our children, but we miss it in our everyday walk. Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, I thank you so much for the privilege to meet each of these ladies and to be together in a ladies' session. Thank you for Pastor Walsh and Miss Janet, Lighthouse Baptist Church, the ladies and the men here, and their vision to reach the world with the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for their vision. Help us in this session to be able to have clear thoughts so that I will be able to say the things that you've laid on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at your handout. God has given us an incredible gift, an incredible treasure, the gift of words. The gift of words. We can talk. There's a baby in the hospital right now. Some of you may have seen it if you are on Facebook. A little baby that's in our church that was born that all her insides were up with a hernia situation. And then she's had these surgeries and they're pulling everything back down. But because of how everything has been in her mouth and the tubes that have been in her throat, she has a paralyzed larynx and she has no sounds. And when she cries, she looks like she's screaming her head off. But nothing comes out. Wow. Her body shakes. But her mother said the other day, her mother posted the sweetest post. And the other day we were visiting with her and we were there with Adeline around the little bed in intensive care. And she said, that's okay. She said, if Addie never does speak, we'll just learn sign language. But no matter how we speak, we still must say it the right way, because still it's the gift of words. It's very important that we understand that gift. It's, we have an opportunity every day to give this gift. Now I want you to look to your left and say something nice to somebody. Just look to your left, say a nice word. Talk, ladies. You like to talk. Okay, look to your right and say something nice. Look to your right, say something nice. It's really not so hard, is it? It's really not so hard, is it? We have a program in our church called Faithful Friends, and that is our secret sister ministry. We call it Faithful Friends, and we just had our meeting not long ago to reveal and to get a new name. Well, we have all kinds of dynamics of people in our church, and we always tell people, if you have a divorce situation, you and your wife, your ex can come. I mean, come on, the church is big enough. Just get busy in different ministries. Don't sit on the same pew, or do sit on the same pew. It doesn't matter to me. But, you know, treat each other like a Christian.
Yeah.
Bottom line. Well, at this Faithful Friends dinner, two people came in particular, the wife of and the ex-wife of. Mm-hmm. So the wife of, sitting at the table with her in her little circle, said, I know what's going to happen to me tonight. I'm going to get the ex-wife of. So after everything's over, guess what? She comes to me. I mean, bawling. Guess what name I drew? The ex-wife of. She said, what am I going to do? And I'm like, blah, 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 blah. You know, you're trying to figure out, okay, the Bible says, okay, no, you don't have to. Yes, you know. I mean, I'm all over the place stumbling. I said, what do you think you should do? She said, I knew it when she came in. She said, I'm thinking the Lord's done this on purpose. And I'm going to have to do this. I mean, it probably was exactly from the Lord delivered. And as far as I know, she has kept that name to this point. God gives us opportunities. He does not want corrupt communication to come out of our mouth, no matter if it's to that person that rubs us wrong or if it's to my favorite little cute kids. It doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter if it's my mom or my mother-in-law. It doesn't matter if it's an acquaintance or somebody that I call a best friend. God does not want us to use our words in the wrong way. We've heard about the story, I'm sure, of the little boy, the Sunday school teacher who was teaching about the word corrupt communication and edify. And the Sunday school teacher says, well, what is this verse talking about? And the little boy said, bad words. And the little girl said, oh, God doesn't want bad words to come out of my mouth. God wants good words to come out of my mouth. And the teacher said, well, what does edify mean? And they said, one little girl finally says, to build up. What does minister mean? Well, it means to serve and to build up others and to serve others. And then the little girl said, grace is a gift we don't deserve. It's like getting a gift with a silver bow on top. And that's what our words should be like. We love to get presents. I love to be surprised at something. You love to get little surprises. I'm not talking about expensive things. I'm talking about when somebody just brings you that little note. And it makes the biggest, most important feeling of worth to you. So the words that we speak are verbal gifts. That's your next handout. We'll get now more to our handout. The words we speak are verbal gifts to our family and friends. I want you to think about everything you say. If we would think about what we say is a gift, then we would never give a gift with a snake inside the box. We would never say something that bit, that hurt, that was cruel and cold. Why? Because that's not the kind of gift that we want to get. Well, I've just got to say that. They need to hear it. Do they? Yeah. Or do we just think we need to say it?
Yeah.
Have you ever said something and you planned and you planned and you planned and you planned to say it, and when it came out, it was like,
yeah.
It's not good for us. What about the words of God? God spoke creation into existence. I want you to think about that. Now, God didn't have anybody to hear him.
Yeah.
He didn't have a human ear, but he spoke creation into existence. He said, let there be light. He said, let there be a firmament. Genesis 1, chapter 1, you know the story of creation. God said, let the waters come and bring forth grass and herbs and the yielding seeds. God said, divide the day from light. God said, let the waters bring forth. God said, let the living creatures, the cattle and creeping things be born, the beast of every kind. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And God said, behold, I've given you all these things. He said, he spoke. That's why we speak. God spoke, and that's exactly why we speak. We are created in the image of God. Now, that is no new truth. You understand that. We are created. Genesis 1:27 clearly says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Aren't you glad you're a female?
Yeah.
Men have the boringest outfits to wear. They can't think but just straight ahead.
Yeah.
I am so glad I'm not a man. I can't can imagine women wanting to be men. Even for any kind of social reasons whatsoever, I cannot get it, you know? Yeah. And their shoes. My goodness, because if they wear bright color shoes, you know, that's not good. So I just cannot imagine in the wildest dreams. But I'm glad men want to be men. So that's all good. God took care of that, didn't he? God knew that we needed to communicate for several reasons. For emotional reasons, women need to communicate. For spiritual reasons, we need to communicate. For physical reasons, we need to communicate. God knew that. And he made us to be able to do that. Now, some of us, it's easier to communicate than others. Some people are more closed. Some people are more open. I believe God made us that way for two reasons. One, he made you closed so that you'd trust him and open up. Number two, he made you open so that you would work on a little more and close up.
Yeah.
We all have something to work on. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't. Sometimes you might hold things that you shouldn't. So we're all made in the image of God, yet we are human. And God has all these things he wants us to work on. See, God speaks to us today through his written word. Okay, he still speaks. Now, he is not going to have a booming voice come down from heaven today, so don't watch that television show. Don't believe that woman that is so emotionally caught up. I'm reading on some things about some women speakers right now and how they're wanting us to do more of a different kind of praying. And I've got a lady talking to me about this yoga and all the things, and it's dangerous.
Yes.
This kind of a spiritual connection is not of God.
No.
Don't listen.
No.
Be careful to the women you read behind. When Janet Walsh is around, we really don't have to read behind many other women because she's got it going on in her books. If you've not gotten them, they're so good. God speaks to us through his word. Yeah. And we take his word, and whatever book you are reading, you look at it and you say, ooh, that didn't match up very well. Because this is God's word. He is speaking. We can't hear as far as an audible, loud sound. But he is speaking. Are we listening? Are we listening? He is not going to speak audibly and say, Sharon, you hadn't read your Bible this week, and so I want to tell you some things because you need to know them. No. He's like, Sharon, you didn't read your Bible this week. I'm so sad. I've got things I want you to know. But you got to work for it. You got to read it. You've got to listen to what I have to say. So God speaks to us through his word. I love these two quotes, and so I put them on your handout so that you would be able to see it and understand it. Francis Bacon said, discretion of speech is more than eloquence. Discretion of speech is more than eloquence. Now, what that does for me is gives me a pat on the back because I may not say everything just in the proper grammar, but it's okay because it's more than eloquence. Vance Havner, I love this one. What is down in the well will come up in the bucket. What's in our well? That's a thought, isn't it? If you don't get any other thought today from this session, what's in your well? Because it will come up eventually. It gurgles. And you know when water sits there? It's trouble, isn't it? If you ever left some tea or something in the bottom of a cup, and I left a little tea. Well, we have a tea party every Wednesday with grandkids. I do, and we use the real little stuff, like their play stuff, their real play stuff. And I left about that much tea, and somehow I didn't wash the teapot a couple of weeks ago. And I have been soaking that teapot because I just don't have the guts now. And you can't get in there good because it's little. And I don't want to put it in the dishwasher because I'm not sure if it'll melt because it's plastic. Yeah. You know, we're working at it. The next thing is Clorox.
Vince, vinegar and baking soda.
So I just need to put vinegar and any particular amount?
Sugar water.
Okay. Vinegar and baking soda when I get home. Vinegar and baking soda. And soak it up. Because it's just yuck. It's stained. It looks like it feels slimy, but I can't touch it, you know? And I'm not drinking out of it. And I'm sure not giving it to those cute kids. Those quotes, think about it. Because God wants to speak to us. Now, let's look at the words of God's people. The words of God's people. Our words make a difference in the lives of people. You would agree, wouldn't you?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They can create a smile on a child's face, or they can discourage a child's face. Have you ever corrected a child different from what their personality accepts, and they just crumble? I'm not talking about just correcting them, and I'm talking about crushing them. Our words can lighten the heart of our husband, or it can burden it.
Yeah.
Our words can cheer a sister in Christ, or really put her down. B, our words reflect Christ, others, ourselves, and others. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We reflect Christ, but if we're going to reflect Him as good as we need to, we have to realize that our words are constantly... No matter the oldest Christian in here in years, we're still not mature to the point of stopping to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Even the most mature Christian needs to pray and ask God's forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Even the most mature Christian needs to go to the altar. Mm-hmm. My kids used to ask me at the younger age, Mama, why does so-and-so never, ever go to the altar? Do they not sin? Mm-hmm. Kids are watching. We are saying, oh, if I go to the altar, somebody may think I did something bad. But those little faces sitting around are saying, oh, they never go to the altar. Do they not realize they sin too? We all sin. And our words reflect Christ. Our words, see, become a mirror in which others see themselves. They become a mirror in which others see themselves. Our words are used by God to reach the world. See, our words are used by God to reach the world. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. One of my favorite times of the year for our church is Easter, because we were really sad to miss yesterday. It's just how it fell, but we take the lobby of our church and put tables all in it, and we're packing 40,000 clear bags, door knockers, for the month of Easter, whenever Easter is. We do it 3 weeks ahead out. So we're giving out 40,000 invitations, and it's got a invitation to Easter in it for our Easter celebration, and it's got a John and Romans in it. And what we do, and then this way, this gets people involved that don't know how to be a soul winner this particular month. They don't know how to open the Bible and so show someone, but they can go door knocking. And what we do is these next 3 weeks, we are literally going out and hanging 40,000 door knockers on Wednesday afternoon before church, and on a big Saturday we call Super Saturday Saturation. And it's so exciting, because people will come that will be afraid to go out on a normal soul winning visitation. And so we start church our Wednesday nights, 3 Wednesday nights in a row at 7:15. Give us 15 more minutes of daylight since the time changes. Oh, I'm so excited the time changes. I love that. And so we go out door to door to door to door. And you know, we'll reap from that fruit for all year long, that people have gotten that door knock, hanger there. Why? Because it is so important that we reach the world.
Amen.
That's words we're putting in that bag. It's God's words. D, Our words can bless or curse. Our words can bless or curse. You know, James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12 are some of the most powerful words talking about the tongue. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. But a woman can gossip first thing. Well, let me tell you. And we really don't even know all the story.
Yeah.
Yet we say it. And it's like you've seen the illustration or heard it, where you've dumped the seeds out, you can't pick them up.
No.
Or blow in the little, yes. We can't gather that up again.
No.
Ladies have a weakness for that. Our words can bless or curse. God has given us incredible power in the sphere of influence. And it begins with the words we speak. He's given us an incredible power. Each one of us will talk to someone different today. Each one of us. So between now and Easter, our church is doing something. Yesterday, our goal was that we would encourage three people face-to-face. Somehow, encourage three people face-to-face. And tell them something good. Today our challenge is to send one email, one text, or one one real written letter of encouragement to someone today. And it's so important to build people up,
yeah.
Not just to gossip, not just to destroy like a forest fire that gets out of control. That's oftentimes what happens to us. I read the story of Xanthus the philosopher. And he had a servant. And he told his servant, I'm having special guests over. I want you to go get the best meat, the best meal, and prepare it that you could ever, ever get. So he did. The servant got the meal together, four or five courses of a meal. And they got there, and the meat was tongue. And the philosopher said, didn't I tell you to get the best thing in the market? And he said, oh, I did get the best thing in the market. Kindness, eloquence, sociability, worship come from the tongue. That's true, isn't it? Didn't sound like a very good meat. Oh, it might be. Our words can encourage. E. Our words can encourage. What is encouragement? Fill this next, these next couple of blanks in. To give courage or give confidence to. To raise the hopes of. To help on by sympathetic advice. And interest to advise and make it easy for someone to do something. To promote, stimulate, or strengthen. That's what encouragement means, ladies. I think we would all have the sincere desire to encourage. Amen. But then we go somewhat, sometimes, and do otherwise than that. Isaiah 54, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. How to speak a word. How to shape our words. What to say. The right word. We were, I know someone who has a child who has Down syndrome. And the other day, someone came up to this mother of this baby and said to them, well, you know, babies with Downs often die by the time they're 18. Is that anything that needs to be said? Don't you think that parent is well aware that their child is not normal and they've read the statistics already?
Yeah.
We don't have to be a know-it-all.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to know that I know a lot about what your child has.
Wow.
our granddaughter that just turned two, Aubrey, cute kid number three, she did not walk until December. She just turned two this Sunday. And she didn't walk. She did not crawl. She did not pull up. Would you like to know how much advice we got about what was wrong with our child, our grandchild? But there was nothing wrong except for Aubrey didn't want to walk. Now, she might could have walked sooner had she had therapy. Okay, it may be so. But her parents chose not that to do that. So as a grandparent, it wasn't my business to say, please, guys, people are talking. No, you just leave it alone. And she's smart, and she climbs stairs, and she crawls now, and she pulls up now. She just didn't do that until December. That's just one of those things. We must choose how we use our words. We must choose. That's G. We must choose how to use our words. A knife in the hands of a surgeon brings healing and life, but a knife in the hands of a felon brings death and destruction. Both have a knife. Our words should be verbal presence. They should be verbal presence every day. But I just need to express. I need to get this. Then I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. Get you a journal and write it in that journal.
Yeah.
And write and write and write and write the most naughty feelings of expression that you could ever have in that journal. And then give it to God and say, Lord, this looks filthy.
Yeah.
It looks like a present with a snake in it that's alive. I don't even want a present with a snake that's dead, do you?
Yeah, right.
God, please, take this nasty old present.
Yeah.
And don't just make the outside beautiful. That's what we like, don't we?
Yeah.
Make the inside beautiful. Because we're going to give a beautiful present on the outside oftentimes, but we're going to give a nasty one on the inside.
Yeah.
If down in our well is muck and mire and soured thoughts and feelings, for sure, it's not going to be right. Our words are a reflection of what we're looking for in people, circumstances, and life. I'm going to briefly refer to the story of Teddy Stollard. Many of you may know the story of Teddy Stollard. Fifth grade, his fifth grade teacher, 15 years later, received an invitation from him. But let me tell you a little bit about Teddy. He was a dirty little boy that came to school. His hair was shaggy and long, and he always had an odor. He had physical problems. He didn't seem to be smart. He seemed very hopeless. He was unloved, and he was seemingly unlovable. Nobody liked Teddy. He had nobody to play with him on the playground. All his papers in his files when the teacher go back, poor work, doesn't excel at anything. Mom died last year. Things don't seem to be going too well for Teddy. Well, this Miss Thompson got Teddy in her class. He was truly unlovable. She said, I didn't give much attention to Teddy. He didn't seem to accept the teaching that I was giving, and I had to move on to the students that were accepting that teaching. She said, but Christmas came, and all the children brought in the gifts, and Teddy's was wrapped, of course, just like he is, very poorly. She opened all the gifts, and then Teddy was waiting. She said, the children were waiting to see what was in Teddy's. She said, she opened it up, and she said it was a bracelet. It was missing some stones. But she said, I made a big deal about the bracelet, and she said, I even called a little girl up and said, put the bracelet on for me. And then she said, there was about a perfume bottle that only had about a third of the perfume left in it. But she said, I made a big deal. And I said, oh, girls, it smells good. You want a squirt? And she said, I made a big deal. She said, after school, Teddy came up to her and she said, Miss Thompson, "You smell like my mom." She said, "And that bracelet's beautiful on you. You look like my mom, Miss Thompson." She said, "It changed me from the inside out. And I began to put time into Teddy Stollard. He began to blossom and flourish." She said, "By the end of the year, Teddy was a different boy. He had some confidence. He could read, he could write, and he showed promise." She said, "It made me sad, but Teddy was moving. Him and his dad were moving away." She said, "I didn't hear from Teddy for 15 years. She said, "But one day, a letter came in the mail. Dear Miss Thompson, I just wanted you to be the first to know I'll be graduating second in my class on May 25 from school, from high school. Yours very truly, Teddy Stollard." She said, 4 years from that, a second letter came. "Dear Miss Thompson, I was just informed today that I will be graduating first in my class. The university has been a little tough and I'll miss it. Yours very truly, Teddy Stollard." Then Teddy's third letter came. "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know, as of today, I'm Theodore J. Stollard, M.D. How about that? I'm going to be married on July 27, and I hope you can come and sit where my mom would sit. I'll have no family there. His dad died last year. Yours very truly, Teddy." Miss Thompson listened. She changed. She had a box with a snake in it. It had a pretty bow. "I'm a teacher, and I'm teaching these kids, but this unlovely kid, he doesn't even want to learn." But she changed the inside to the most beautiful verbal gift she could ever give to a man who would change his entire life because she gave focus on Teddy Stollard. Your last blank, let's carefully choose the words we speak, for they are verbal gifts. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you've allowed us to speak and help us to speak gifts that are pleasing to you, not just with the outside package, but with the inside. Help it to be pleasing in your sight, and help us to take your words so that it will change us in that way.